Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I'm going to have to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Anytime you hear that, you know that it's time to talk to Dr. Robert Odell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas. Dr. Odell joins us each week, although there were some extenuating circumstances last week, so we couldn't get to him. So we'll get a double dose of the doctor today. And before we get to Dr. Odell, please give Dr. Odell and the staff at Neuropathy and Pain here in Las Vegas a call, 702-257-7246. We talk about this all the time. Each time that Dr. Odell comes on, pain is a part of life. There's no question about it. It's something that we deal with. But it's not something you have to endure and live with without the possibility of some sort of a relief. Sometimes we get this sort of John Wayne attitude about it, and I'm going to tough it out. It's just part of getting old. I have to deal with it, and that's just the way it is. But that's not the way it is. And if you call Dr. Odell, 702-257-7246, and the great staff over there, they'll explain why, and they'll have remedies for you. And if they can't fix you, they're going to get you to somebody that can. And without further ado, Dr. Odell, how are you doing today, my good friend?
I'm doing great, doing great.
Obviously, the heat is... I know you say you like the heat, Dr. Odell. You are on record as saying that you enjoy the heat. But is there a breaking point even for the great Dr. Odell when it comes to the heat?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a little bit too much. It's not healthy for a lot of folks. We're fortunate to have air conditioning in our office here at home, and I don't pay much attention to the weather. I don't let it run my life. We're lucky here. We don't have anything that is catastrophic like back east. We have a drought. It's manageable. But anything above, 107 or so, 106, whatever, is problematic. And, it's just something that I just hope and pray that the folks that, can't afford air conditioning, that the city is able to help them. I haven't heard any news reports against that. So hopefully everybody's okay.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the attitude. Don't let it dictate your life. I've been here over a year now, and that's literally the way you have to be. You just figure it out and you deal with it. And I'm not going to sit here and say you get used to this kind of heat, but you get used to figuring a way around it and navigating around it so that it doesn't dictate your life. And I think that that's...
My handyman's coming over 5 tomorrow morning. We're going to work on the railroad from 5 to 9 a.m.
There you go.
And then I'm going to do my, my medical legal work and whatnot, from 9 in the morning, and then this nice air-conditioned office. So there's ways around it,
Exactly. All right, Dr. Odell, we're going to kind of delve into it's a serious subject. There's no getting around it. There's no easy answers. Maybe there are. Maybe, there's some thoughts that you have on it that can make it easier than what it appears to be. But, talking about the opioid epidemic or addiction epidemic, if that's the proper way to classify it. And I know reading the news, pharmaceutical companies are getting sued and liable and paying out, money for their role in it, for lack of a better term. But in a nutshell, is there one culprit or multiple culprits? What, as a doctor, what kind of light can you shed on that situation?
as with anything else, there's multiple culprits. One of them being our attitude that we want instant gratification. You know, take a pill, solve a problem. We've talked about that before. I have a friend who's a pediatric emergency room physician who lives in Atlanta, and she has a company called VibraCool, where they supply products that, and we can supply them to here in our office. These products are use vibration, and they cool the body down, and they can be used for pain in the low back, neck, hip, knee, foot, and everywhere. And anyway, she's a remarkable person. She wrote a paper, and I don't think she's published yet, called Under the Hood of Pain Management. She came to, as a pediatric emergency room physician, she bought the whole big pharma hook, line, and sinker. She came to this from that aspect, and now she realizes what's going on was wrong. And, of course, the government has appropriately cracked down on that, and Purdue and some of the other companies are paying a lot of money for what they did. I, on the other hand, always wanted to find the root cause and never really gave it, I just didn't want to give a pill for a symptom. So I actually came at it from the opposite end. You know, I and of course, as a pioneer, I've taken the arrows for my energy techniques, fighting Medicare for stuff they don't want to pay for, you know, all that kind of stuff. The drug companies get a little money for their research, and those of us that are really trying to help people and cure them, you know, are left dangling. Unless you're a big, like electroceutical company, like the people that make the spinal cord simulators. So the causes of this are multiple, and much of the blame falls on the patients who take them and the people who you know, have abusive or have personalities.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair to the prescription people, much of the problem now is fentanyl-laced and other illegal contaminants or illegal substances that the drug dealers are putting in. And a lot of the overdoses are, in fact, due to that, not so much prescription drugs, from my understanding. I'm not an expert in the field. I haven't looked at the literature, but that is my understanding, that we as physicians are taking the rap for a lot of things that perhaps is more of a societal problem. And I can address that in a little paper that I wrote that I have here in front of me if we have time to get to it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not an easy question. I mean, I use alcohol. You know, it's fun. You know, I like it. It's got zero to kinetics. Same amounts metabolized. You don't have to take more to get high. I know what I'm taking when I drink it. You know, it's a volume. You know, and I just couldn't stand to take something like marijuana where I didn't really know what the concentration was. That's just not me. I'm not suggesting it should be not legalized. I want to stay out of that. I don't want to make any money on that stuff because I do have some concerns about it long term. But that's another issue. But alcohol has been around for thousands of years because it is, first of all, it's easily controllable by the government. You can't hide it like you can hide cocaine or marijuana, and it's got this zero order kinetics. It pretty much the same amount as metabolized, no matter what, how often you drink, and so forth. So it's predictable. Some of these other drugs are not. And can you imagine taking something from the street where you have no idea what's in there? Maybe the drug dealer doesn't like you now. You know, they want to off you. Maybe look at you the wrong way. And I'm not streetwise, so I'm just speculating. But it just scares the heck out of me eating something that not knowing what would be in it.
Okay, fentanyl. Is that something that you can get over? I mean, is that something that's prescribed?
Yeah.
Because that's I read where, you know, that some of these pills are laced with fentanyl. That means that somebody knowingly added fentanyl to a drug. How does that work?
Fentanyl is the first drug that was made from Demerol by a guy named Janssen, who started Janssen Pharmaceutical. Fentanyl is the mainstay in the operating room. It's short-acting. So we use it all the time in surgery. Everybody needs 2 cc's of fentanyl, even though they're going to have gas for the anesthesia. I'm putting my anesthesia hat on now. It kind of smooths things out. And people wake up, they had no idea they had it. That's fine. However, unfortunately, because it is, 50 times more powerful than morphine, it can give you a really good high, depending on how it's ingested, and it's fairly easy to make, from what I understand, and that is one of the big problems. It's just a great drug used in the right settings, but just like anything else, there's some people out there without consciences, and you know, who don't care, and unfortunately, all of us suffer. You know.
Yeah, no question about it. And there's an Angels pitcher, the Anaheim Angels, L.A. of Anaheim Angels pitcher who died. He did something with, you know, fentanyl laced on it. It was given to him by a team employee that was, you know, just hooking him up all the time with this particular drug. And then, you know, there was a tragic accident that happened in a hotel room. So it's like, There you go. You know, he's getting it from a non-doctor, and that's what ended up leading to his death. Now, hopefully, you know, those who were culpable are going to pay the price. But it gets confusing, and that's why, you know, talking to you and trying to get to the bottom of it, or at least, you know, your understanding of it. Where do the pharmaceutical companies fit into all this?
Oh, they're the ones that started it, unfortunately. Actually, in 1910, there was a Flexner report that paved the way for the structure of medical education in the U.S. This study was sponsored by Big Pharma and the AMA, but they also severely debunked the use of electricity for healing and the importance of nutrition, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
Half the doctors in the country were using electricity. It took a serious hit, which is why I'm going through what I'm going through now with my Sonexus device, fighting these people right and left. Allopathic medicine was viewed as the only proper approach for dealing with the disease, and all the various forms of complementary and alternative medicine were thrown under their proverbial bus. Now, the Flexner Report formed the basis for medical education, so it had some merit, but what was done was way wrong, and it set us back a number of years. When I often wondered why people got ill when I was a student, why some got chronic pain, why some were healthy. And, you know, the pathophysiology is very complex and poorly understood. However, the pathophysiology of pain now is becoming more and more understood. And now this is kind of in the forefront of a lot of our research, although it's interesting. If I'm asked to put down an application, my specialty, oftentimes, pain management is not even on there. And what's really interesting, Vinny, is that the American Academy of Pain Medicine, through the American Board of Pain Medicine, through which I got my board certification, they have been trying for 20 years to get a four-year pain track where the doctors will learn not just what I do interventional, but medication management, the psychiatry, and all that stuff. And it's been blocked by the doggone people who run the official board certifications. It's just pure and utter political nonsense, because if that hadn't happened, we'd have four-year pain tracks now for people. Some might be interested in psychiatry aspects, some might be interested in interventional, some might be interested in the energy medicine, and they would and everybody would be learning all this over a four-year period. And I'm hoping that, you know, within my lifetime, you know, which, you know, hopefully isn't too short, this will happen.
Right.
It's crazy, because this is one of the main reasons people go to doctors. And I won't tell you that if we had this, we'd be avoiding the opioid crisis. But I'm telling you, I think there'd be a heck of a lot more doctors that would be a heck of a lot more knowledgeable about some of these issues, rather than just having learned it like I did, weekend courses or just by seeing patients, trial and error, et cetera.
Well, and it sounds like on that end of it, what you just touched on, it sounds to me anyway, and you know, I'm not an expert, obviously, but it just sounds like decisions being made by the wrong people, like the wrong people are in charge of something like that. And am I you know, on the right track by saying that?
Yeah, I should talk one segment about a friend of mine, Ralph Weber, who wrote a book on how insurance companies have messed up healthcare in this country. Republicans, Democrats, everybody's responsible. The good old boy network. I call it the medical swamp. It is a medical swamp. All these third party people, I mean, they take they interfere with a doctor-patient relationship. I'm not saying there's an easy solution. If I could figure out one, I'd be prominent and people would know about it, and it would help a lot of folks. Take, for example, the Christian health share, where they all do things, it doesn't have a middleman. Ralph, or Dr. Weber himself has started some of these, where there's no middleman. And so the middlemen are just poison to our system, and there's really no simple answer. Having said that, we probably have the better system than anybody. Fortunately, there's still a large amount of freedom, and there's not one single payer, which would be just an absolute disaster if that happened, because what that would be rationing. If I was 60, I'm 74, and I had started having hip pain, I might be too old to have a total hip replacement. And that's just not the American way. It really isn't.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction to make. I'm a firm believer in this. We're as bad as it might be, we're better than everywhere else.
And I hope liberals listening, understand that Medicare for all, it would become rationing. Wayne Allen Root today was talking about all the illegals coming in and getting free this, free that, free health care. And it's just mind-boggling because our resources only go so far. We can't be the policemen of the world, and I commend Biden actually for completing the Afghan pullout, even though bad things may happen there. We just cannot be the policemen of the world. That period. We
don't have resources. I think yes, exactly. And it's gone.
I don't even think that's political because Trump started the pullout, and I think he declined going into somewhere, forget Syria or something, when he was asked. And anyway, it's there's a lot of things need to be fixed, but gosh, if there's a free interchange of ideas, which I hope will continue in this country, then hopefully, maybe clumsily, but hopefully the right solutions will be found.
Yep, I completely agree. And what I respect about with what you're doing is it's the complete opposite of that type of treatment, where the magic pill is gonna fix you. That's not the way to go about it. At least not all the time, obviously.
Vinny, I take blood pressure pills. I take Prilosec for GERD.
Right.
And loft, if I don't take it, I get a little angry too often. And and again, I mean, here I am telling how many of our people you're listening that, but I mean, there are some uses for Big Pharma. I do not want to give the audience that Big Pharma is all bad. That is not true at
exactly.
all. Antibiotics have saved lives, blood pressure medicine, pills for crazy people. I don't mean that nastily. I mean people who have major psychoses.
Right,
things
right.
like that. Some sleeping pills, although I'm not a big fan of sleeping pills. But unfortunately, it just requires, in fact, each person needs to be their own doctor and decide what is best for them in conjunction with their medical advisor, their primary care doctor or their specialist. Because we are all individuals, and we're the same, but we are different, too.
No question about it. And again, and I have to reiterate this, I do it all the time. We talked about something serious today, and I wanted to get the doctor's opinion and insight onto it. But bigger issue as it relates to Dr. Odell and the Neuropathy and Pain Center is how it can help you. We all know, whether it's ourselves, whether it's parents, friends, uncles, aunts, whatever the case might be, we know somebody and multiple people most often that are living in pain. And, whether they're doing it just because they feel like they have to, that's the way it goes. If they feel like maybe they don't have enough money to take care of it, whatever the case, there is help out there, and the Neuropathy and Pain Center provides it.
But,
and if you could,
Vinny,
yes.
If you have any listeners who live on the other side of town and they just want a referral with somebody over there, there's nobody that does the energy medicine like I do, but I'm happy to refer them to some of the good pain management doctors on the other side of town. I wish we had multiple offices, but Medicare played games with me. I had to close the Green Valley and the Prump office. It's just a darn shame if the patients only knew what was between them. And the other thing I also want to mention is I do have 8 or 9 steps that people can take for this opioid crisis, and perhaps we can talk about that maybe in the middle of next week or something, can make up for last week, if that's something that people will be interested in. Something that you guys, that the listeners out there can do, whether you're involved with somebody who's addicted or has having issues, or yourself, or if you just want to generally help. I do have a really nice punch list of about 8 or 9 things that people can do, and it's all about education. The word doctor means to educate.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's try to put it in pencil or pen, whatever we want to do for Wednesday. I leave for vacation on Thursday, but let's get it done before I go, because I'm curious and I'm interested in that step, in that program that you put together.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Italy. I am going to Italy. So, yes, exactly. Yeah, hey, for a week.
I just have one word to say. Behave yourself.
I will try, but I'm not making any promises. So there's a couple of glasses of wine in my very, very near future, Dr. O'Dell.
We're on local radio, dude, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone can appreciate it. It's going to be in Italy.
That's great. Yeah.
And thank you so much. Everybody, please, 702-257-7246, the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas, Dr. Robert O'Dell, and the great staff that he works with over there. They're going to set you straight. So please give them a call. Dr. O'Dell, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in the middle of next week.
Okay, thanks, Vinny. Talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Dr. Robert O'Dell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center. Please give him a call, 702-257-7246. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Right back out to the Raider Nation list line. Mitch is in New Jersey. Mitch wants to talk about the AFC West. How you doing, Mitch?
Can you hear me?
How's it going, Vinny? How you doing? Happy Friday.
I'm good, man.
Vinny, can you hear me?
Yeah, this division could be really tough, and you kind of hope Denver doesn't get Aaron Rodgers. Tough division. You think we can lead the league in sacks? And you think, I hear you on with Freddie Boy, you think the Chargers... I think they might do better than the Rams, and they're going to give the Raiders and the Chiefs a run for the money. And thanks for taking my call.
Freddie boy, I'm going to tell him that you called him that. he's talking about our good friend Fred Rogan over in Los Angeles, good friend of mine. And I was on his show today with Rodney Pete. But you're saying that the Chargers are going to be better than the Rams. I'm not buying it. Not buying it at all. In fact, I heard a really interesting interview. It was a podcast with Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, a couple of good friends. They coached together in Washington. They were on a podcast together, and Kyle Shanahan was giving Sean the business a little bit about the Rams ending up with Matthew Stafford, and the 49ers wanted him badly. And in fact, Kyle Shanahan was talking about, you know, they were both in Cabo. The 49ers were in the running. Kyle Shanahan was antsy, excited, nervous. It was a roller coaster ride, thinking that they might be able to get their hands on Matthew Stafford. And he was talking about how, you know, coming out of college, forgot where Kyle was coaching at the time when Stafford came out of Georgia, but he did a deep dive, obviously, a scouting report on Matt coming out of college, loved him. But then he was like, look, you know, because we were in the running here, potentially trading for Matthew Stafford, I did another deep dive into him, a more recent deep dive. And some of the accolades that he was talking about with Matthew Stafford in terms of his admiration for him and how he felt like he was actually underrated, not overrated, making all the throws. And then for the trade not to happen in San Francisco's favor and then for him to go to the Rams was just a double whammy, you know, not getting the guy that you wanted and then losing him to your bitter NFC rival. So I'm not buying that the Chargers are better than the Rams at all. I think the Rams are thinking Super Bowl, and I think it would be a disappointment if the Rams don't get to the Super Bowl. I think Matthew Stafford is that good. That defense is fantastic. There's all sorts of weapons there in Los Angeles. So I think it's going to be an exciting year for the Rams. we'll see about the Chargers. There's no question to me Justin Herbert is on the come. The Chargers have always had talent. They just haven't been able to put it together, and I don't know why that is, but that's been the case. That's been what's held them back, and I think the Raiders are every bit as good, better than the Chargers, and I think that if they could get that defense squared away, they're the decidedly best or that second place team in the AFC West. And of course the Raiders are going to be gunning for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's priority number one, but priority number two is figuring out a way to get to the playoffs. And I think that they are going to be in the running, especially if that defense gets squared away. We're gonna go back out to the Raider Nation guest line. Joe is in LA. How you doing, Joe? Joe, are you there? I don't think that we have Joe. That's okay. Joe, if you're listening, please give us a call back. You know, we'll get you right back on. But we're talking about Derek Carr. We're talking about his comments today. I think it was today out at the golf tournament up in Northern California, Northern Nevada too. I have to say that now living here in Nevada, Lake Tahoe, there's a big pro-am golf tournament. Always happens this time of year. I always keep saying to myself, I got to go to that. I got to go check it out. Maybe next year we'll see. But Derek Carr was on the Brother from Another show on the Peacock Network talking about, hey, man, I'm excited about this season because, you know, you go back and look at last year, three plays or so away from being an 11-12 win team. And Pro Football Talk got a hold of that quote, put a little story on it, put it on the internet, tweeted it out. And of course it caused some sort of a little bit of an uproar from fans who I just don't think paid much attention to the Raiders or enough attention to the Raiders. I'm not blaming them. Everyone has their own team that they root for. Reporters cover the teams that they cover. You can't know every, I don't know the Seattle Seahawks inside and out. I don't know the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Detroit Lions. I know something about them. They're in the NFL, and if they play the Raiders, they're going to have to really do, you know, the kind of deep dive that you do as an opponent. But I can't sit here and say I know the ins and outs of all those teams. I feel like I have a pretty good command of the Raiders. That's the team that I cover for the Las Vegas Review Journal. That's the team I talk about every day here on Raider Nation Radio in the huddle. I feel like I was at every game that they played last year. And so while everyone else that, you know, maybe doesn't pay all that much attention to the Raiders would look at that and say, well, you're 8-8. You're sitting here saying that you're three plays away from, you know, being an 11-win team. Everybody wants to say that, but that's not the case. Did you hear Derek Carr talking about the Raiders along those terms, in those terms last year, going into last year? He would never, because he knew better. He would have never said going into the 2020 season, oh yeah, we were three plays away from being an 11-win team in 2019. He'd have gotten laughed out of the building, and I would have been the first one laughing at him. He wouldn't have said it because he knows that that wasn't true. It would have been an exaggeration. The Raiders last year in 2019, 2 years ago now, in 2019, we were talking about how when John Gruden got here, to me, he was looking at a 15-hour car drive to get from where the Raiders were to where they wanted to be. And I think that not the instructions that he was given, but when he was handed the keys, it was with the understanding, if you just look at the contract, I don't like to get into how much people make or that type of thing, but if you look at the structure of that contract, the length of that contract, the Raiders were basically telling John Gruden, look, you're who we want to be in place here. We have a big job ahead of us. You have a big job ahead of us. For various reasons, haven't been able to get it right for the last X amount of years. There's been some poor decisions. There's been some trying to put Band-Aids on open wounds, trying to get the quick fix. It hasn't worked. You're the guy that we believe in. We're going to give you a contract that not just reflects our belief in you, but it's going to give you the necessary time and security to get this, to navigate this 15-hour car ride in a safe manner that delivers us where we want to get delivered to, safe and sound. in a good way. That's so that 15-hour car ride, you know, by 2019, you know, they were a ways into the car ride, but you can tell in 2019. I saw the Raiders. I saw them up close and personal at some practices, joint practices with the Rams. There's no doubt that Darren Waller jumped off the practice field those 2 days that we were up there. I'm like, who is this? Josh Jacobs looked good. The offensive line looked like it was you know, coming along. There were some good young players. You could tell at that draft with Cleve Farrell and Max Crosby and Trayvon Mullen. You can tell that there was something there, that those guys were going to add something to it. They were young. It's going to take a little time, but you could see some talent. But you could also see there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. By 2020, they were much further down the road going into 2020, even though, and this hurt big time, not making excuses, this is a valid explanation. Without the benefit of OTAs and a regular offseason, and especially defensively, because that was the youngest group, that was the group that was implementing the most new players, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, guys like that. It just, you know, while the offense was on its way and pretty much where it needed to be to make the playoffs, the defense wasn't quite there. But even still, even with this growing defense, a defense that probably needed a new leader, a defense that needed some younger players to start developing and stepping up and some additions, the defensive line wasn't quite there. You know, the secondary needed some help. But they were getting closer. You could tell that they were closing in on the destination. To me, the destination is being a team that can consistently go into seasons realistically looking at playoffs. You know, the whole thing, you know, Super Bowl or bust. Yeah, you know, if you get to that point, I don't know many teams that are necessarily at that point. Even the Patriots, they went long time sometimes. Without winning championships, even though they were perennially in the playoffs, it's hard to get to the Super Bowl. They did it a bunch of times, and credit them. I don't know when they're going to be back again anytime soon. They don't have Tom Brady there anymore. That makes a huge difference. But just being able to go into most years genuinely believing, stay healthy, avoid any catastrophes, we should be in the mix by the end of the season. I don't think you could legitimately have said that about the Raiders these last few years. There were just too many holes, too many flaws. And yet and still, that offense was so good last year that it put them in a position where if the defense had just made a play here or a play there in three games down the stretch, this could have been an 11-win team. But that's how close they were. So they're closing in. That 15-hour car drive, I said earlier, maybe they're 15 minutes away from the destination. Maybe it's an hour. I'm still saying it's under an hour. It's under a half hour. It's under a half hour. I believe that. I think the addition of Unique and Gakwe and some of the changes that they've made along the defensive line, I think the addition of Gus Bradley and the staff that he's brought in, I think that by the end of this season, I think the Raiders are going to be, they're either going to be there and you're going to look and see and be able to say, it's a playoff team. It's a legit playoff team. They're going to the playoffs. And that shouldn't change anytime soon. You got your quarterback in place. You got this young offensive line. You got a bunch of young players offensively. You got this young defense that you've put together now. It should be good to go that for these next few years beyond just 2021. And I always feel like that was the goal of the Raiders when they hired John Gruden, was to build something sustainable. Fleeting success. Could you throw a bunch of money, at some veterans and try to get it together real quick and try to, you know, rev everybody up, get everyone excited, try to win as many games as possible and sneak into the playoffs and everybody's happy. Wow, I made the playoffs, you know, but was that the right way to do it? Is that the right way to do it? No, I don't think so. I think it's draft and development and putting the time in and building a strong foundation to the point where you can keep now replenishing. You have that foundation in place, and behind that foundation, and that, to me, that foundation isn't just the starting 11 on either side of the football, but it's the backups. It's players coming up through the system that are being developed behind the scenes, so that when guys graduate at the end of their contracts, you don't want to lose everybody, but it's almost inevitable that you're going to lose somebody. And it's always a little bit painful, you know, when you're losing good players sometimes, or having to say goodbye to good players, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, that sort of thing. But it makes it a whole lot easier if you're drafting and developing behind them, so that, okay, hate to lose Rodney Hudson, but feel good about Andre James back here. That's what a foundation allows you to do. A strong foundation allows you to do. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Gabriel wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Gabriel?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I want to talk about, you know, like the defense, you know, last year at the very beginning, they had a few good games and they had their bad games, of course. Do you think that they should have fired Gunther maybe after like the game against the Buccaneers? And do you think they would have played better, or do you think the defense would have stayed the same and we would have had the same outcome at the end of the season?
There's a possibility it could have played better. You know, and I know that, you know, everyone, the sense that I got anyway, from Raider Nation, a lot of fans, you know, fire Paul Gunther. You know, what's interesting to me about that is sometimes the narrative on John Gruden is that he's, you know, trigger happy. He's always, you know, running out of patience and falling in and out of love with players and coaches and whatnot. And to me, you know, he gave Paul Gunther, there were a lot of extenuating circumstances going into last year for that defense. And I know because I was talking to people leading up to it. And there was a recognition and an acknowledgement that, man, not having this foundation, not having OTAs, not being able to get this young defense together in May and April and June, there was going to be an effect, a negative effect. And I think John Gruden understood that and acknowledged that. And I don't think he was prone to just blaming Paul Gunther for everything that was going on. He understood that Gunther was dealt a difficult deck of cards. It was different on offense because, remember, the offense was year three with Derek Carr and John Gruden. It was a veteran offensive line. Darren Waller was there. Josh Jacobs was coming off a fabulous, you know, rookie season. Hunter Renfrow was coming off a good year. You had Nelson Aguilar, a quality veteran wide receiver. There was just the offense was built in a way that it was in a better position to withstand not having that foundation of an offseason. It was different for the defense. So I think John Gruden gave some allowance for that and gave it the necessary time for it to sort itself out. And by the end, it was pretty obvious that a change needed to happen. Is that to say that John Gruden, you know, gave him too much of a leash and gave him too much time? In retrospect, probably. But I think it was for the right reason. I think that he understood that Paul Gunther was in a really, really difficult spot trying to get seven new starters acclimated and on the same page, and some rookie players and some second-year players. Jonathan Abram, who is essentially a rookie. Damon Arnett, the rookie, you know, cornerback. It was not an ideal situation for a defensive coordinator going into a big season. And so I don't blame John Gruden for giving it a little bit more time. I actually admire him for doing that. I'm not a guy that's fire this guy, fire that guy. These guys, you know, there's human beings behind all of these things and families. And you don't want to have the quick trigger. And John Gruden was hoping that it would get turned around, and that Paul Gunther would survive it and be stronger for it, and so would the defense. It just never happened, and it just kind of got to that point where it was time to make a change. But I have no problem with John Gruden giving it that necessary time. Back out to the Raider Nation guest line or listener line. Fritz wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Fritz? Do we have Fritz?
You hear me, Mr. Vinny?
I got you, Fritz. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing today?
I'm really good, thank you.
So first of all, I just wanted to say that you have the patience of a saint. God bless you. I don't know how you do it every single day when you got to talk about Derek Carr, all these people who got problems. So there's that. But secondly, I got one point I want to make about all this, and that's I don't understand the controversy behind what he said at all, because what he said was literally fact. They were three plays away from the playoffs. The Buccaneers were three plays away from 8-8. Buccaneers were also probably two plays away from 13 wins, and the Raiders were three plays away from 5 wins. Fine. So the Buccaneers are better than the Raiders. Great. But that's why the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. We know they're better. And it was the defense that drove them there, right? So that's number one. Number two, I kind of want to know, because I'm not old enough to know this, were the Charger fans this upset and were they calling for their quarterback's head when their quarterback started his career with 13 wins and 30 losses and one tie? Or did they kind of let Dan Fouts ride it out and then become a Hall of Fame quarterback, and then they jumped on his bandwagon? You know what I'm saying? Guys,
yeah. Well, let's
the quarterback does not have a win-loss record. That is the coach's record. The quarterback is part of one half of one side of the football, right? So you can't blame the quarterback for wins and losses. That is the whole team. And then my last point, and maybe you can ask Mr. Gruden this himself. It seemed to me that last year there was really only two games where the Raiders looked like stir-fried you-know-what. And that was the Falcons game and the Patriots game, where they just got totally outclassed. And what do those two teams or those two games have in common? Well, they were long road trips, short weeks, and early starts. So my question is for Mr. Gruden, because the coach does have some responsibility for these decisions. What is he going to do, or what has he done, to make adjustments so that the team plays better after long trips on the road and early starts?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's an ever evolving situation. I think that teams are always trying to figure out that conundrum. You know what I'm saying? Like I'll put it this way, that if you look at that Falcons game and the Jets game, I think without COVID-19, because that was back-to-back, if I remember correctly, if COVID-19 hadn't been here, I would imagine that the Raiders would have stayed out east in that situation to make life a little bit easier. But you're always trying to figure that out. It's not easy. I know me going west to east, and just that Sunday morning, getting to the stadium, I feel it, because it's early in the morning. You know what I'm saying? For us, like when we get there, usually you got to get there around 10 a.m. or so to beat the traffic and all of that. It's 7 a.m. Our body clocks are still 7 a.m. And I'm just a guy that's covering the game up in the press box, nice and easy. But I'm feeling different. And I can imagine that the players do too. So what can you do? You structure your practice schedule around, you know, trying to maybe get the body clock a little bit different. You go early, you go in a day early. Sometimes if it's a back-to-back deal, you stay out on the East Coast or close to the East Coast so that it's not such a drastic turnaround and go back around type of a thing. But you're right. You know, veteran teams, good teams, just understand a way to kind of figure out a way to win those type of games. And I remember that Patriots game. There were a couple of turnovers that really hurt the Raiders in that game. Down on the Patriots side of the field, that could have changed that outcome. I agree with you. I think that was one of those just bad games. That Atlanta Falcons game was, you know, inexplicable, but it happens. There's going to be one. There's almost, unless you're like the perfect team, there's almost going to be a game like that every year. Heck, the Rams lost to the Jets after the Raiders beat the Jets. For whatever reason, the Jets started playing pretty decent football there toward the end of the season. They went, I think it was in L.A., and they beat the Rams. So, you know, it happens. But I agree with you. I think that I don't have anything negative to say about what Derek Carr said. I think it's actually, if you're a Raider fan, you should feel good about it. The fact is, you were three plays away from going to the playoffs. When was the last time you really legitimately could have said that? Now it's just closing that gap. Now it's just getting that defense to a point where they can make those plays that need to be made. And that's going to be the key to this season. We talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. How much better can this defense be? And how much of a compliment can it be to this offense? If it's viable and it's holding up its end of the bargain, I'm convinced that the entire narrative of the Raiders changes for the better. I just want to say thanks to everybody that joined us this week. It was a great week. We're going to be back at it next week, 4 to 6 on Monday. It's a short week for myself. I go on vacation after Wednesday's show, but we got you covered. I think Q Myers is going to be sitting in, hosting the shows when I'm out of town. I want to say thanks to Damon Cotton. Thanks to all of our listeners and callers. You guys really brought it today. I really appreciate it. Thanks to our guests throughout the week. Thanks to Robert Odell. Thank you to Embajador Tequila being a great sponsor for us. Truly appreciate everything. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Stay cool if you're in Las Vegas somehow, some way. We all got to do it. And let's just all kind of survive this weekend and hope for cooler days ahead. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.